Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. We have a Week 11 post-game wrap-up for you. The Bills are now on their bye week, so we will not be doing a pregame this weekend. However, we will tear apart this Buffalo Bills-Chiefs game that resulted in the Bills winning in epic Josh Allen Superman fashion in the last 2 minutes. 30-21, the first team in 30 opponents to achieve more than 28 points on these Chiefs and their vaunted Steve Spagnuolo defense. Dan, where are you in your feelings now? We are, you know, it's Wednesday following the Sunday game, and a lot of the fervor has calmed down, but people are still feeling very, very good.
Oh, we're going to be riding high on this one for a while, JJ. My take is this, and listen, this could be foolish, and as a Bills fan, I've been fooled before. This one felt different, right? Like, people went in hedging expectations, anticipating that if the Chiefs did indeed continue this extraordinarily magical undefeated season against the Bills, and if Patrick Mahomes indeed was going to go 3-0 against Josh Allen and Sean McDermott in Highmark Stadium, that we were emotionally prepared for that. So everyone was hedging. The game didn't mean anything. Well, it's still unlikely that the Bills are going to get the one seed even if they do win. But JJ, this one felt different. All the talk about the Bills need to do it in January, to me, dissipated a bit. Not because they don't not need to do it in January. They absolutely need to if they see this Chiefs squad again. But this one felt different, JJ, because it felt like a game plan that is finally sustainable against the Chiefs, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, which I know we're going to get into. For the first time, it felt like from start to finish, the Bills were the better coach team. And JJ, they're also the more talented team. I think that's fair to say at this stage of both of the roster builds of these individual squads. So where do you want to start, man? Because I loved what the defense was rolling out against Patrick Mahomes, but Josh was doing Josh things too, and it's all going to be fun to get into. So you pick. Dealer's choice, my friend.
Yeah, let's start with the defense versus the Chiefs offense, because I think that is the easier matchup for this Bills team in this game. Even though the Buffalo Bills defense is the defense under Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, and now Bobby Babich, has had many, many problems with Patrick Mahomes and particularly with Travis Kelce. In this game, you know, it was different. It looked different. And there was a lot of different factors to it. I think that we should end the pod in the place where the game sort of ended with, you know, our Lord and Savior, Josh Allen. Yeah, and the offense. But yeah, to get into the defense, I think that what we saw, the biggest difference, I think, to point to in this game was that the Buffalo Bills defensive line did something that no Buffalo Bills defensive line has been able to do, and that was consistent, reliable pressure to support their players in coverage by the front four, or in some cases, the front three plus a linebacker. That is something that we have not seen this Bills team do, and they got him on the ground twice. They hit him, I think, 7 times. They pressured him over, you know, a dozen times, and that was all of the difference in this game for the Bills defense versus the Chiefs offense. A Chiefs offense that is much maligned by a lack of talent on the outside at wide receiver. They've had some injuries and some inefficiencies, and then also a tight end position in Travis Kelce and Noah Gray. That Gray is probably slightly better than a Q Morris level, you know, tight end. He's solid but not spectacular. And Travis Kelce looked very, very old in this game, Dan. He looked slow. He looked old. And the Bills, they did two things to him, and I can talk about these at length in a minute. But just in general terms, anytime he was in covered man coverage one on one, it was either Christian Benford or Teron Johnson. Way more Christian Benford than Teron Johnson, because Teron Johnson has had trouble with Kelce alone.
Yep.
And then when he was covered in zone situations, they did sort of a kind of a magnet or a cloud zone where the players dropping into coverage, mostly linebackers, would hit their landmark. But if Kelce came near, they would be sticky to him over the rules of their zone. So they would leave some cushion behind them in order to make sure that they were all over Kelce the whole time.
And JJ, what you described is an incredible departure from defensive philosophy of this Buffalo Bills unit. in the Sean McDermott era. We said this last pod, almost to the point of comic pessimism, that the defense is the defense. And there were a whole bunch of creative sets that we hoped the Bills would run out there against this Chiefs squad that we didn't have faith that they would. But JJ, not only did they get creative, but to your point, they chose to go against type. They chose to go against what they typically put on film against the Chiefs and throw something truly unique and truly new at a head coach and an offensive mind in Andy Reid and a QB in Patrick Mahomes that have seen just about every defensive combination you could possibly imagine. And they threw enough new stuff at them at the right sequence to stifle this Chiefs attack. They discovered that they can, in fact, play man coverage as well. But I want to go back to this concept that you rolled out, because I love this term magnet zone, where the rules of the zone apply until your primary target comes within range. And then at that point, your job is the man, not the patch of green that's in front of you. And that is something, JJ, that we have seen the opposite happen of when the Bills have gone up against these Chiefs. They are happy to guard space and never guard the person that is killing them. And that's why Kelsey's been so effective. He kind of leaks out and wanders out and finds nice, quiet places in the Bills' zone in soft coverage that he can exploit. And the Bills were not allowing it this game. And it was absolutely something to behold. And this was in the text chain that you and I were going over. You had a great breakdown of this magnet zone stuff. I want you to dig a little bit deeper into it and tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, the Bills defense did some things that they... I have watched the All-22 at this point, and the Bills defense did some things that they usually don't do, in that they did a lot of mix match coverage, and they did a lot of outside corners in man coverage on their primary assignment with muddled, you know, zone looks in the center. The Bills' focus in this entire game was literally shutting down the center of the field. Patrick Mahomes could have sent a lot of balls to the sidelines, but he was unwilling to do so because of the talent of the Bills' outside corners. And that, I think, was smart, because in the middle, they oftentimes had multiple linebackers. They had one of the safeties come down, and then they had the deep third, the deep middle closed by Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp was playing center fielder most of the game, with DeMar Hamlin getting messy in the middle and coming down closer to the line. And that really restricted what the Chiefs wanted to do. The magnet zone was the reason it was unique, and it's somewhat dangerous. If you have a team that has weapons that you respect and are afraid of, the magnet zone might kill you, because the team, after a few series, is going to say, okay, if you're going to start floating towards Kelsey, we're going to like send Worthy on a deep over in the extra space that you've just freed up behind your landmark in your zone. And he's going to crush you for 100 yards on the TD, right? Like, that the reason that didn't happen was the incredible sticky coverage of the outside corners, and it was the lack of talent on the offense for the Chiefs of having excellent outside, you know, corners or outside wide receivers. This is going to be harder to do against a team like San Francisco, like Miami, with really, really talented outside wide receivers, because they're going to be able to shake that kind of close sticky man coverage and make some hay in the now stretched apart or condensed zones around the target you're trying to focus on. What bodes well for this going down into the future and into the playoffs and things like that is the Bills will probably see the Chiefs again in a critical moment. This coverage should work again. They do not have a magical, you know, Tyreek Hill coming out of the woodwork anywhere. There's no, you know, additional help for them that's going to really strain the Bills again if it's strength on strength and everyone's healthy.
Absolutely. And DeAndre Hopkins, we don't mean to undersell him and his talent, but at this point in his career, he's more of a zone beater. He's more about finding some of that open space and kind of sneaky, crafty veteran ways. He's not running away from anybody.
No.
So to your point, this coverage scheme, I mean, listen, and I think the Bills have absolutely built off of what the Broncos showed the league a couple of weeks ago against the Chiefs, which is you should not be afraid to play man against this group, and you shouldn't. And as long as you maintain pass rush lane discipline on Patrick Mahomes, if you can limit his running ability and his ability to create out of the pocket, and you can stick with man coverage, it is a recipe for really limiting this potent, what has been a potent Chiefs attack. Even though, JJ, they've been winning close games, this is still an offense that by EPA and by most DVA metrics was in the top 10 in the league, and Buffalo really had their way with them. I want to flip it back to the defensive line for a moment as well, because I feel like we've got to highlight Greg Rousseau. I feel like every pod we talk about him, you mentioned the pressure that the Bills were so successfully getting against the Chiefs in this game, and a lot of that started and ended with Rousseau. On his 28 pass rush snaps, he pressured the QB on 17.9% of those snaps, JJ, and his time to pressure was 2.7 seconds, which means that the coverage on the back end had to hold up longer to some extent, because I believe Mahomes' time to throw was like 3.3 seconds in this game.
3.3 average, yeah.
Yep, something like that. So the coverage had to hold up, but they were doing such a good job of getting Mahomes off script, off his platform, making him go to his second reaction throws that just weren't there. It was this great combination where we thought quick pressure was going to have to be the key to this game. Rousseau himself only generated two quick pressures, pressures under 2.5 seconds. It was the ferocity of the pressure, and it was the location of the pressure as well. We've seen Jerry Hughes, not to throw dirt on Jerry Hughes' Buffalo Bills grave, get pressure by statistical measures on Patrick Mahomes, where Mahomes simply sidesteps Jerry Hughes, who runs right past him, or is guided past him by an offensive lineman. We've seen it time and time again with every single edge and defensive line combination the Bills have run against Patrick Mahomes. Rousseau's discipline, and not just his quickness, and forcing Mahomes out of the pocket was a real big difference maker, I feel like, in this game. And JJ, for back-to-back games, Rousseau's pressure has also led to a turnover, has been attributed to a turnover. In this particular game, it was a Patrick Mahomes interception, I believe. So Rousseau is, the sack metrics aren't there, but by every other measure, he's getting meaningful pressure. He's disrupting QBs in rhythm, and he is creating turnover opportunities for other guys on this defense. We talk about complementary football. We talk about everybody doing their 111th. I don't know that anyone has been more prominent in filling out their role this season than Greg Rousseau has.
Well, absolutely. Greg Rousseau is an absolute monster. He's a nightmare for opposing tackles and also for opposing quarterbacks. Part of the game script for the Bills on defense was to have Greg Rousseau either use his single arm stab to push a tackle into Patrick Mahomes to make him uncomfortable, which happened on both sides against both tackles multiple times, or to compress the pocket to make him really not feel like he had a stable place to throw from, or to have Greg Rousseau deliver one move to the tackle and then really quickly scrape inside and run off of the inside hip of Ed Oliver to loop around and just appear in that gap with all 6'7" of him, which I saw multiple times on all 22 when you're looking at from the end zone camera angle, where Greg Rousseau appears in what is an open gap in the line, and Patrick Mahomes looks like he's about to step up either into it to throw or into it to run, and immediately changes his plan. And the play, he duffs it in the dirt. He almost gets sacked. It was always a negative play every time Greg Rousseau came through one of those loops or stunts clean. The other piece was that the Buffalo Bills defensive line not only got pressure, but when you get pressure, Patrick Mahomes is so hard to sack. And so they only got him down twice, but they hit him many times. And that's because the pressure was good enough to get a near sack and to get a clean hit on him. And we know from all the way back in the Tampa Bay, you know, Buccaneers Super Bowl against the Chiefs, that if you put him on his, you know, hind quarters enough times, his game is thrown. He does not revel in the messiness of football. He is not a Josh Allen who needs one good pop to feel like he's in the game. He wants his jersey to be perfectly pristine and clean at the end of the match every single week.
Are you calling Patrick Mahomes soft?
I'm calling him soft.
Is this what you're doing?
I've said this for a long. Really, the whininess I started to notice with the whole was it Juju Smith-Schuster lined up offside last year or whatever?
Was that the Kadarius Toney?
Oh, Kadarius Toney. Yeah, Kadarius Toney lined up offside. His whininess and his sore loserness and petulance, that was then. That's when I noticed that trait of his character. He's always been super averse to messy physical football.
Mm-hmm.
He's a finesse player, and you know, if that is soft, then he's soft.
Wow. Wow. Breaking news. Buffalo Bread thinks Patrick Mahomes three-time Super Bowl champ.
Yes.
Is soft. Oh, I love it.
You don't have to be tough to be a Super Bowl champion.
I love it. But that's how we want our Super Bowl champions to be in Buffalo.
That's right,
because
we're from Buffalo.
This is a good opportunity to flip it to the offensive side of the ball before we wrap up. Listen, we could dig into Brady's scheme. He went toe-to-toe with Spags. The run game didn't have much efficacy in this game except in the red zone for a couple of scores. This was really a game where the Bills were able to generate chunk plays in the passing offense, which they were not able to do in that divisional game against the Chiefs last season. And we've been saying all year, this is the wrinkle Brady needs. We know he can do the run, mm-hmm. but when a defense condenses down on this Buffalo Bills offense, can he get the chunk plays? And this is where you saw the difference maker that Amari Cooper can be, not just in the fact that Cooper had some meaningful pivotal catches in this game for explosives, but where he slots in and the attention that he commands. When you take away a Trent McDuffie and you put him almost exclusively on Amari Cooper, which is what the Chiefs did, Khalil Shakir is going to eat in the screen game. He's going to eat in the slot, and he is a yak machine. And we saw them able to generate explosives on plays that started behind the line of scrimmage in both the run, but more frequently in the pass. JJ, it was a great scheme by Brady, but it all came down to Josh Allen at the end. 4th and 2, McDermott made a call that I think 2 or 3 years ago he would not have made. To you, JJ, is this a sign? Sean McDermott, let's say, finding his killer instinct, right? Because Josh always wants to go for the kill. Josh would go for it on 4th and 7 if you let him, right?
Josh has gone for it on 4th and 27. He's tried to run on a 4th and, you know, more than 20.
He absolutely has. He's almost gotten it a couple of times too. So is this growth in Sean McDermott? Is this a sea change in his philosophy? Because he's been getting better on 4th downs, but 4th downs in critical game situations against the Chiefs is a place where he has really struggled. Is it different this time with McDermott? And is this now the way he's going to coach in these high leverage moments?
So yes. And I think yes, because he's been the second most aggressive coach behind kneecap biting Dan Campbell this season.
Wild. He couldn't pick two different guys to be in the aggressiveness metrics when it comes to like demeanor.
And they're both in the top two. And so he's been right up there. He has been for a long time. I think last season you could say he was one of the more aggressive coaches too. The difference is there's like, and I think the best way to describe it is for this team to make it all the way over the hump to the mountain, to the championship, we need a Sean McDermott who's more like a YOLO Josh Allen. And we need a YOLO Josh Allen who's more like the steadfast, steady, consistent Sean McDermott. And they've learned from each other. And they seem to have taken those lessons to heart, because Sean McDermott, who's just like himself, would kick a field goal to go up by 5 to then have their soul snatched by Patrick Mahomes to get a touchdown in the last 2 minutes and win the game.
Every time.
And that, and you know, Josh Allen, who's too much like Josh Allen on 4th and 2, maybe not 4th, that was a total Josh Allen play. Let me pick a different one. On any number of other plays, on like a 3rd and 7, where he threw the obvious best smart choice 10-yard ball to Khalil Shakir, instead bombs the 13% completion possibility, you know, sideline streaker to freaking Mac Hollins, who has 2 DBs in his back pockets, right? Like that, I think that what we need for this team to get it to reach its ultimate goal and why it might be different is for Josh Allen to take the smart, obvious play with the ball, and for Sean McDermott to say, you know, to hell with it. And he even said it in his post-game comments with the media. We've seen Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid march down the field and get that score anytime they've needed. Too many times. We cannot play scared. We have to go for it. We have to, you know, put it all out there as hard as we can and play for the win. And that, I think, is a massive change.
Yeah, I agree. Well, before we wrap up here, JJ, question for you on this Josh Allen play. Where does it sit for you in your all-time Josh Allen moments? I gave this one a lot of thought, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, you could take his overall game performances.
Yeah.
Like, I think about his torrid start to the 2022 season where he torches the Rams and the Tennessee Titans in back-to-back weeks. There was, of course, his coming out party where he leapfrogged Anthony Barr on Minnesota?
Yeah, Anthony Barr, yeah.
Yep, there's Minnesota. That one. The Thanksgiving Day performance against the Cowboys in 2021 was
2021.
That?
Yeah, that was and Thanksgiving.
Then,
yeah.
And then even though it was an L, 13 seconds, he was the freaking Terminator man. So
I mean, where does
this sit for you?
My like Josh Allen performance Hall of Fame at the top of it is the game we attended against the New England Patriots.
Perfect
negative
game.
6 degrees. He like literally threw a ball away and got a touchdown on it. Like
it was Dawson Knox TD.
Yeah, it was a perfect game. Every draw, every single yard they could have gained, they gained, and he was an absolute terminator that entire game. So that's number one for me. This is probably in top three though.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah, it's definitely in the top three. The other one in my top three, it's probably not even. I couldn't tell you which year it was, but it was Josh Allen at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami playing air guitar on the 50-yard line after sending a bomb to John Brown, I think.
I think that was 2020. I think that was
for
the COVID
a touchdown.
Season. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was the season that like Josh Allen became Josh Allen.
Yes.
And that was the game. I remember the moment in that game being like, "Holy crap! Like he's coming for you, league. Like this guy is dangerous.
Sure. Yeah. He is the right Josh. That's the moment we knew. Yeah. For me, I mean, it's in the top five. I'm with you. Perfect game is there. The Anthony Barr leapfrog, just because that has become the signature Josh play.
Right.
But that was like the first one, right?
Yeah.
That's like watching the first Godfather. You know what I mean? When it was released, you know? I mean, I thought his run last year against Pittsburgh in the wild card round, what was that? A 53-yard scamper.
That was insane. Yeah.
Where he was compared to a Tonka truck on Four Loko with the heart of a puppy dog on Twitter. Now X, now devoid of any real sports media talent.
Right.
Yeah, man. But this has to be for me. It's in the top five. And my guess is, as the years go on, if this game means what we hope it's going to mean with a sea change for the Bills and their approach to the Chiefs, you could look back on that moment and be like, oh, this is when we turn the page. This is when Manning finally got the best of Brady, so to speak. Right. So right now it's squarely at the bottom of my top five with the potential to be a riser.
Sure.
Depending on the context by which this game is judged in the future.
Yeah. Well, exactly right. It drops out of my top three if the Bills, you know, puke all over themselves against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game this year.
You can't. I would rather lose to the Chiefs playing this way than we have lost to the Chiefs the previous few years. Like, go out on your shields, boys. Yes. Like, play man, get pressure, rush five, get dirty, do everything you can. And if you lose this way, I'm okay with it. I'm okay if Josh Allen gets tripped up and doesn't convert that fourth and two into a first down, let alone a touchdown. I'm okay. I'm sad today if that's what happens, but I'm okay because McDermott decided to go with his best play in that moment, which is Josh Allen, right? If they lose like this to the Chiefs, I'm good. I like the way the squad is playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Instead of Sean McDermott just like really cranking on that small electric safe space heater, he chose to douse himself in gasoline and hand Josh Allen the match. And that to keep his team warm. And I think that it makes all the difference.
That is the clip we're going to put out on all of our socials to preview this pod. A kerosene doused human torch.
Immolated Sean McDermott.
Freaking love it, man. Freaking love it. All right. Well, listen, JJ, we are on a bye week. So for all you listening at home, there is no pregame pod this week. So we're going to be dropping this postgame pod at our normal time on Saturday. And then you can tune in to a hopefully relaxing Buffalo Bills free Sunday of football this week. And then we'll be back the following Saturday with our pregame pod of Buffalo Bills welcoming the defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers to Highmark Stadium. For all of you listening at home, as always, like, share, and subscribe. Drop us comments wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.